الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. دروش بالله تسليما. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, after departing from the city of Makkah Mukarramah, heading for Kufa, and just before reaching Kufa, information was given to him with regards to the fate of Muslim ibn Aqil. And at that juncture, Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an decided that the best option would be to return back. The best option would be to return back. This was the decision taken by Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an after understanding the situation in Kufa, that the people of Kufa betrayed Muslim ibn Aqil, and they have also betrayed Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an. And majority of the people in Kufa were Shia, all of them. Majority of the people were all Shia. The issue was that the family members of Muslim ibn Aqil were in the camp with Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an in his caravan. And so they came, they were outraged when they got this news that Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqil has been executed by Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And so in anger, they took an oath and they said to Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an, "We will not return back until we avenge the blood of Muslim ibn Aqil and fight Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad." Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad is the governor of Kufa. The governor of Kufa. Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an agreed to this. And alhamdulillah, we covered much in the last session of Darsi Hadith. When Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an got to Karbala, he instructed that the caravan to be encamped in that zone. Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an got to Karbala approximately on the 2nd of Muharram. Different narrations, but approximately on the 2nd of Muharram. Now Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, of course, he was a man, he knew exactly where Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an was. And so this time what he decided, remember that Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an is in Syria. And he appointed Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, who is in Kufa. And Hazrat Hussain radiyallahu ta'ala an is in Karbala. And so now what Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad does is that he appoints another new individual, an officer in charge, whose name is Umar ibn Sa'ad. Umar ibn Sa'ad. Now Umar ibn Sa'ad was in the beginning reluctant. He did not want to sort of take on this service from Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, understanding the mentality of this man. But of course, it's never easy to say no to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, who's the governor. And so he was a ruthless man. This man, Umar ibn Sa'ad had no choice. So he took on this mission that he's the officer in charge. His duty was to go to Karbala and negotiate with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and to speak to him as to what is happening. Remember, Ubaydullah wanted him to be in Kufa. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So this man came to Karbala and he met up with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. How many people were with Hazrat Hussein? Maximum 150 at that time. How many? 150 maximum. And so he came, he spoke with Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Hussein was an intelligent man. And Hazrat Hussein said to him that, I have a proposal and I want you to accept from the three options I put forward, any one option. From the three, any one, I want you to accept. And so Umar ibn Sa'ad said, that's fine, I will accept that. He said, the first option is that allow me to go back from where I came and return back either to Makkah or Medina Munawwara. Of course, he came because he felt that there was an invitation given to him by the people of Kufa. Otherwise, there was no need for him to actually even leave Medina Munawwara and get to Makkah Mukarrama. And so he said, allow me to go back. That is the first choice. The second choice you have is, let me go to Syria and speak to Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Let me speak to him. And the third choice is, let me go free, let me be free, enter some Islamic frontiers and just engage in jihad fi sabilillah. And so I will be of no obstacle to anyone. I will just spend the rest of my time in jihad fi sabilillah. So allow me to go wherever the Muslim army is. And so Umar ibn Sa'ad became very happy. He said, that's fine. Wholeheartedly I accept this. And alhamdulillah, this was again a reasonable choice that Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and put forward. So he said, I accept this. Now, not realizing, thinking that because I am the officer in charge, if I accept, everyone should accept. And so he gave the guarantee to Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, and it's fine, I have accepted that. But let me go back to my superior, to the one who is the governor of Kufa, and explain to him, and I will say to him that, look, I have accepted this proposal. So he went to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. He sent a message to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, who was in Kufa, that I have accepted the proposal of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Now, upon which condition do we release him? Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was a cunning man. He said to Umar ibn Sa'ad, that who are you to make a decision? I've only sent you there as an officer in charge. The decision is mine, I am the governor. Don't advocate on behalf of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. Don't show any sympathy to him. You have no right. Because he's gone against Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. And so show no sympathy to him. He said, I will only look into the 3-point proposal that is given when you bring him in Kufa as a prisoner. When you bring him to Kufa as a prisoner, and then he does bay'ah in my hands on behalf of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So now he wants Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an to come to Kufa as a prisoner, and then thereafter to do bay'ah upon the hands of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, of course on behalf of the Khalifa. Now Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an was a brave soldier, subhanallah. And these are the Ahl-e-Bayt, of course. Subhanallah, he has the blood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the royal blood, subhanallah. And so they were brave individuals, and he said, this I will not accept, that I should be taken back to Kufa and Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, give my allegiance to him on behalf of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, this I will not accept. And so he said this clearly. Remember, he got to Karbala on the 2nd of Muharram. Now, what we need to understand is that you will find a lot of narrations when you read about the events of Karbala. Every book will be different. In fact, you'll have people who have written it in a way which would sympathize with the aqaid of Shia, and you'll find Shia scholars writing something. And unfortunately, you'll even find some of the Sunni scholars who have been influenced by the Shia scholars, because this is the main heated topic all the time. So you have a lot of information that comes about Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. The best, perhaps, research is done by Sheikh Atiqur Rahman Sambali, and he's done a good sort of research upon all of the narrations. You'll find many of the narrations are Shia fabrications. So for an example, if you pick up a book that's written by some of the Shia scholars, it will tell you that Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad had dispatched an army of 25,000 to 35,000 to Karbala. Now think about it. A group of 150 people, would you want an army of 25,000 to 30,000 people? Now that's the difference, imagine. 25,000 to 30,000. And if you look at the other books, you'll see that as many as 4,000 or 5,000 troops were there in pursuit of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. But only Allah knows best. Only Allah knows best. But certainly not 25,000 or 30,000. And again, this popular sort of understanding amongst a lot of the people when they speak about the events of Karbala, that Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an was denied water. He was denied water. Now again, this is something that's not accepted. If you look at Karbala, it's very close to the bank of Euphrates, and it says that if it's not directly from the bank of Euphrates, then there was a canal that was connected to the bank of Euphrates, and the land was very lush and green. The ground water level was so high that if you were to dig slightly, water would come out. And so there is no issue about water getting to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. And you'll find a lot of the times that in the month of Muharram, the Shia would generally want to give sharbat for the 10 days. I'm not sure if you've seen that. And they give sharbat and they say that, look, he was denied even water, the basic necessity. In fact, there is one narration that on the 10th of Muharram, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an and his companions, they did ghusl, and they had dissolved some kind of fragrance, mushk, in the cauldron, and they did ghusl with that on the 10th of Muharram. And so there was ample water. There was ample water for Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. And so we have to mention, of course, what are facts? Are facts. The truth is the truth. But the Shia, what they do is they need to make sure that they play on the emotions of the people continuously, so that they sensationalize this matter. Of course it was a tragedy. Of course it was a tragedy. And there is no doubt in that. But again, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses an individual with a high position of shahadat. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an was shaheed, Hazrat Usman was shaheed, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an was shaheed. And of course, many members of the Ahlul Bayt went through difficulty. So we have to make sure and evaluate everything in the right manner. There is a lot of gulu, there is a lot of exaggerations. This is what they do. in the month of Muharram, these are the days of mourning. These are the days of mourning. And so what they do is that they will sing and they will narrate a lot of things so people start crying. Oh, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an did not have water. The baby was crying. This happened, that happened, this happened. And so then you get groups of people from the back crying and screaming, crying and screaming. This is what they do, play with the emotions of people. But what we need to do is look at the facts, the narrations. And that is very, very important. Where is 25,000, 30,000 people, and where someone was to say that water was denied, water was not given to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. And also, of course, his entire speech that you'll find in the books in which this entire episode has been mentioned, the events of Karbala, you'll find that Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala is giving khutbah to the troops that were there, the army of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, or the people of Kufa. Now that entire khutbah is a fabrication. That entire khutbah is a fabrication. And I have here with me an excerpt, just to show you an English translation of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an giving his khutbah, so that people can understand. Now you'll even find this ibarat, this paragraph, in some of the Sunni books. In fact, I've also heard lectures from people who cover all this. And so we have to be very, very careful. Of course, this was perhaps the greatest tragedy upon the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we look at the difficulties upon the companions. He was the grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But again, we have to be careful. We are not to side with the Shia community, because they have this habit and tendency to exaggerate. This is what they do best. And so this entire speech is a fabrication. And it starts off by saying that Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala and said to the people, O people, listen to me. Do not work in haste until according to the right that you have on me. I should perform the duty of giving advice and instruction and state before you true reason for my coming towards you. If accepting my statement to be true, you do justice to me, it will be your good fortune. And you may well know that you have no reason to oppose me. And if you don't accept my statement and not act justly, then you may willingly gather all your strength and assemble whomsoever you want and leave no endeavor, and then with full force, without giving me any chance, this is what Hazrat Hussain is saying, without giving me any chance, finish me off. That Creator is sufficient for me who sent the Quran, and He is the supporter of His righteous servants. Now, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala and is a brave soldier. You can't depict Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an as if he's actually begging from the people of Kufa that spare me and have mercy on me. He's a great mujahid. In fact, if he wanted to return back, he could have done so. He could have done so, remember? But he only went back because of the family of Muslim ibn Aqil, because of them. And so he was prepared to fight for Haqq. And so all of this, again, is perhaps the concoction of someone who's got a wild imagination. And these are the Shia people who've actually written a lot of things even after the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, that this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens. A lot of things must have happened. And so a lot of it is just exaggeration. And after this khutbah, the first khutbah, when he said that you people can come and do whatever you want with me, the ladies in the camp started crying. And so Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and remember, you see, when their scholars speak in this tone that the women were crying, it's very different. And so they all start also crying. And so Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala said to his son Ali that go and tell the women not to cry. And then they stopped. And then again he continued with his khutbah and he said, just think of my name and descent and see who I am. then do a little heart searching and contemplate whether it is right for you to shed my blood and insult my dignity. Am I not the grandson of your Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he say? Am I not the grandson of your Prophet? And then look at the words. You can tell that there is Shia connotations in the words that come after that. And the son of his wasi. And the son of his wasi. As in, what they're trying to say is that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was the wasi of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam. That he was supposed to be the Khalifa. And am I not the son of wasi and the cousin who was the first to believe in him? Who was the first to believe in him? Actually, Hazrat Ali was amongst the first to believe in him. But also Hazrat Abu Bakr, also Hazrat Khadija, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, many. But again, when you look at the writings and when you look at the khutbah, you can tell clearly that any man who does research and great scholars, when they look at the ibarat of everything that is said, it's clear that this is sheer fabrication. Do you think Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an would give a lecture and these people gave him enough time, as will continue? And it says that Hazrat Hussain continued by saying, has the popular tradition on everybody's tongue not reached your ears that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told about me and my brother? These two young men are the leaders of the youth of Jannah. If you consider my words to be true, and in fact they are true, then nothing matters. If you take my statement to be wrong, then there are still such men in the Islamic world who can confirm that. Go and ask Jabir ibn Abdullah, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Go and ask Anas bin Malik of my virtue. Then is it not sufficient to prevent you from shedding my blood? Now you see, the picture that people give of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an does not befit the character of the Ahle Bayt. The Ahle Bayt were pure people. The Ahle Bayt were brave people. The Ahle Bayt were courageous people. Hazrat Hussain was a brave soldier. Subhanallah. Imagine, single-handedly, with his family, he decides to go. Whatever decision he had taken, that was his decision. But he was a brave soldier. And subhanallah, for you to present him in a way that he is sobbing and crying and sometimes appealing to them. And I haven't even in fact read everything in front of you. I've had to just stop there. But it just goes on. This does not befit the character of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. If you look at the Gospel of Mark, the Christians, they say when Jesus was put on the cross, he said, Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani. What did he say? Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani. God, God, why have you forsaken me? Something like that, to the effect, the Gospel of Mark. Now, this does not befit the character of a Nabi. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, to be patient and to persevere, it is in their DNA. This is the making of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. They don't complain to Allah. They don't complain to Allah. Oh Allah, here I am on the cross. Where are you? Are you not looking at me? Eli, Eli. As in Allah, Allah. Lima sabakhtani. Why have you left me? Look, that is the words of the Gospel of Mark. These are the words of the Gospel of Mark, attributed to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. But let me assure you that a Nabi's character is not this. A Nabi's character is not this at all. Allahu Akbar. The Nabi, Anbiya are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was flung in fire. Jibreel Amin came to him and said to him, Hazrat, if you give me permission, I shall assist you. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Jibreel Amin, Allah is watching over me. You go. What did he say? Allah is watching over me. Jibreel, you go. I don't need you. I need my Allah. That is Anbiya. And subhanallah, so when you talk about Anbiya and when you talk about elite companions, you think Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala and all of a sudden would change his stance. And all of a sudden he would then say, look, do this and remember who I am and what I am and why do you people want to do this to me? And subhanallah, again you see that in different narrations, there is great confusion. And so, Maratikur Rahman, and we wholeheartedly agree with him. This is nothing but a Shia fabrication. In fact, there was no such khutbah given, and that should be attributed to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and in a way that you belittle him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Khair, on the 10th of Muharram, what had happened is that there was another man whose name was Shimr ibn al-Juwayshan. His name was Shimr ibn al-Juwayshan. Now, Shimr ibn al-Juwayshan was a man who had close connections to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the governor. And so he would come and he would say that, look, if you want power in Kufa, in Basra, you need to take out your opponents. And the opponent in front of you is who? Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Now, whatever the reason, subhanallah, when Allah is to seal your heart, then you become blind. Allah save a soul. Then a person will not even look that who is that man in front of me. After all, he is the grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But when your heart is sealed, the people of Taif were prepared to pelt Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they would throw stones at him, and they disrespected him. And so we see this in history. A lot of things can happen. And so this man was actually blind. The heart was sealed. Ubaydullah then gave instructions to this man that immediately you go and take control in case Umar ibn Sa'ad is a bit weak. Umar ibn Sa'ad is a bit weak. So Shimr was there. Now in one narration it is said that he again came with another army, but that can't be confirmed. That can't be confirmed. You have a lot of narrations. But Shimr was there, and what he noticed is that on the 10th of Muharram, in the morning, the fight was only between the first section of the day, from the morning until the afternoon. 150 people. All of the ladies were in the khaymah, in the tent, all of the ladies. And the only child inside was Ali Asghar, the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and who was not well at that time. So he was also with the women in the tent. And so all of the men were outside. And of course, this man was also there, Shimr, and he said that you must start quickly and make sure that you deal with Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and if he's not prepared to come to Kufa, to our condition. And so they started attacking the men folks that were there, and very quickly it is said that majority of the men folks that were with Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and they became shaheed, majority of them. There were only 150 all together, including women. So majority of the people became shaheed. This was on the 10th of Muharram. Now, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an was amongst the last to survive the entire event. He was the last individual. Why was he the last? Why was he the last? The fact of the matter was that in a way, people were still scared to directly go to him and attack him in a way to murder him. They were scared to directly go and attack him and to murder him. And so what they were doing is that they fought with the people that were around Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. And when Hazrat Hussain was there, then they started just generally firing and shooting arrows towards him. And of course he was injured. But for any one man to go and to attack, and that this man can be singled out in history, that so and so went and he attacked Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and who would do that? This was difficult, because they knew at the end of the day he was Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and they were again just following the instructions of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, so they were firing at him and he was injured. Now Shimr, when he saw this, he said to the people there, to the troops, that all of you together go and attack Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, all of you. And this is the order of the governor of Kufa, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, go. And so there was a push from this man Shimr, and then finally what had happened is that all of these people came And collectively they attacked Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an, and this great Mujahid, the grandson of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, breathed his last and he was also martyred. So he became also shaheed in the month of Muharram, the 10th of Muharram. Now, we need to understand that, of course, there is no sympathy for the people of Kufa. How can there be sympathy for the people of Kufa? There is no sympathy for this Na'ahal insan whose name is Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad and Shimr and all of these people who had played part in attacking the caravan of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an, and of course to make Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an shaheed. There is no sympathy for them at all. And none of the scholars also, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, have said that what these people did, Aliyazu Billah, can ever say that it is right. Aliyazu Billah, how can it be right? And so we agree that what they did is wrong, completely wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has punished them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has punished all of them. Even Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. When you look at history, what happens to the people who attacked Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. Now it is said that the very next day, all the martyrs, the shuhada of Karbala, were buried. But Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad was such a heartless, ruthless individual that he gave instructions to the people that I want you to bring the head of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala unto me in Kufa. I want you to bring the head of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an, and to sever the head of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an, and aliyazu billah, what kind of people they were. Again, these were the people of Kufa, and the people of Kufa, majority of them were Shia. Remember that even when Hazrat Hussain was in Karbala, he actually said to the people that I have letters here stating that you invited me. I have letters. And didn't you invite me, and didn't you invite me, and didn't you invite me? All of these people were from Kufa. It was an invitation given to him by the Shia clan of Kufa. And so what had happened is that the head of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an was again presented to this badbakht, this man, heartless individual, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And it is said that in many narrations it is mentioned that he actually even disrespected the head of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of this great shaheed, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Scholars have mentioned that the head of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an is in Baqiyya Gharqad, in Medina Munawwarah. Where is it? It is in Baqiyya Gharqad. But we'll inshallah cover this in the next session. But the body of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an is in Karbala. The body was buried in Karbala. That is what some of the scholars have mentioned. But inshallah ta'ala, we will cover this in the next session. Now, on the 10th of Muharram, it is even said that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, who actually was one of the individuals who did not want him to go to Kufa, he saw a dream in the night. He saw a dream in the night that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to him and showed him a bottle which was filled with blood. A bottle which was filled with blood. So Hazrat Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is this blood that I see? And remember, no information was given to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas as to what happened to Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. But in the dream, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that, Ibn Abbas, this is the blood of my grandson Hussain and the martyrs of Karbala, and the martyrs of Karbala, which I will keep until the day of Qiyamah. Which I will keep until the day of Qiyamah. Khair, this was a dream. And so when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and woke up, he quickly understood and he knew that Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an must have been shaheed. And it is said that information was given to him thereafter that Hazrat Hussain is shaheed. And that was the exact time when he saw a dream in which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the information. Khair, this was the event of Karbala. Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an was made shaheed. Now, inshallah ta'ala, in the next session, we will talk about what happens to Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, and how he reacts to the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Now, we need to understand that the culprit were, of course, without doubt, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. He was the main individual. And then Shimr and the group of people that actually attacked Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and these were the people of Kufa. And at the same time, remember, the 12,000 people who were prepared to do bay'ah at the hands of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala, and all of them also betrayed Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, in the next session, we will continue from where we have left off. We will talk about, of course, how Yazid ibn Muawiyah reacts to this shahadat of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala an. Allah give us all the tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa atana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.